This programme was previously broadcast live on Love Sport Radio, so some items may be out of date. Phone-in elements of these shows are not available, but if you'd like to comment or give us feedback on our shows, you can tweet us at Love Sport Radio. For more podcasts or to listen live, visit lovesportradio.com. Alternatively, you can find this and other podcasts on iTunes or Spotify using the keyword Love Sport.
This is the Championship Fan Show with me, Kieran Critchard, between 2 and 3 o'clock, the last one of the week. Coming up over the next hour, we'll be looking ahead to all of the Championship fixtures coming up this weekend. In particular, we'll be focusing on Cardiff as they have their Welsh derby against Swansea on Sunday afternoon. We'll also be talking a little bit about Sheffield Wednesday, who are doing very, very well under Gary Monk. Also talking a little bit about Blackburn. Remember, if you want to get in touch with us this afternoon, call us on 0208 70 2558 or WhatsApp us on that very same number. This is the Championship Fan Show here on Love Sport. So plenty to talk about over the next hour. A reminder, if you want to get in contact with us this afternoon, call us on 0208 70 2558 or WhatsApp us on that very same number. That number again, 0208 70 2558. Look ahead to the Championship action this weekend. Obviously, we've had a midweek round of fixtures in the Championship, which threw up a lot of surprises and a number of really intriguing results. In particular, you look at Nottingham Forest, who lost at home against Hull City, a big result for Grant McCann's side. So let's go through all of the fixtures this weekend. It starts with a great game at Hillsborough. Sheffield Wednesday are at home against Leeds in the early game tomorrow afternoon. Gary Monk doing great things. We'll talk a little bit more about Sheffield Wednesday to come later in the hour. Birmingham host Luton. Huddersfield are up against Barnsley. Hull are at home against Derby. Middlesbrough, Jonathan Woodgate under pressure there. They take on Fulham. Millwall, it's the first game in charge for Gary Rowett against one of his former clubs in Stoke. Nottingham Forest looking to get back to winning ways after two straight defeats against Reading. Preston are at home against Blackburn. West Brom are at home against Charlton. Obviously, West Brom top of the table. Swansea take on Cardiff. Obviously, a Welsh derby. There are a few derbies around this weekend. Bristol City are at home against Wigan. Those two, Swansea, Cardiff and Bristol City, Wigan, they are both on Sunday afternoon. And then on Monday evening, another derby game. It is QPR up against Brentford. So lots of great things. And I think what the Championship has told us this season, don't think you know what's going to happen next, because it very much does not happen in that way. Interesting, as I said, a big weekend for Gary Rowett. His first game in charge at Millwall this weekend. Obviously, he wasn't in charge for their draw against Cardiff in midweek, although he was in the stands to watch his new side. A little bit better for a new manager coming in than it was for Sol Campbell. Obviously, he was at Southend's game against Doncaster, saw his team lose 7-1. Not exactly the greatest start to life as the new manager. And Gary Rowett has been talking about how he had the unusual chance to speak to the previous boss, Neil Harris, who obviously resigned a few weeks ago after 4 years in charge at, of course, a club where he is a massive legend at, which helped him to decide to join the Championship club. Neil Harris, obviously, who played for many, many a year for Millwall, stepped down on the 3rd of October. He said the time was right to leave, and Gary Rowett was named his replacement on Monday. Just a few quotes from Gary Rowett. Neil was high in his praise for the people at the club and for the way it was run. I spoke to Neil quite quickly after he left. I did one of my coaching courses with him for 18 months. If you're joining a new club, it's always good to speak to people who've been there. You don't usually get the opportunity to speak to the previous manager because of the circumstances around a vacancy coming up. But Neil's the sort of guy who'd do that, and it helped. Remember, in January, Gary Rowett was sacked by Stoke after less than 8 months in charge when the club were 14th in the Championship, 8 points off a playoff place. He also says that he has big shoes to fill following Neil Harris, who's obviously the club's all-time leading scorer. He said, that's why I think we have to try to do it a slightly different way. I think if I come in here and try to be Neil Harris, I'm never going to do it as well as he would. The aim is just to take it forward, make small adjustments, but not lose what the guys have built over a long period of time. So it's Gary Rowett's first game in charge. Not a bad man to get some advice from, considering how much Neil Harris has been loved, not just as a player for Millwall, but also as their manager for the last 4 years. So Gary Rowett taking charge of his first game tomorrow afternoon at home against Stoke, one of his former clubs. As I mentioned, it is a bit of a derby weekend in the Championship. A number of great ties to look ahead to. On Monday night, for example, QPR Brentford. Tomorrow afternoon, we have Sheffield Wednesday versus Leeds. On Sunday, we have a Welsh derby. It is Swansea up against Cardiff. And to get the Cardiff perspective now, I'm delighted to say we're joined by Ben James, writer and founder of View from the Ninny. And thank you very much for your time this afternoon, Ben. Before we look ahead to that big Welsh derby, looking at the game in midweek, it was a 2-2 draw away at the club we were just talking about, Millwall. Cardiff had led twice, but then were pegged back. Was that the frustrating thing from that game in midweek, that they thought they were in a position to win that game and they couldn't quite keep hold of Leeds?
Yeah, it was really frustrating. I think we were the better side. I think we made more chances. We looked more comfortable on the ball and more comfortable in defence. I think Etheridge came back in and he didn't really have a save to make apart from the two goals. And I think it's just, it was more defensive lapses that let them back in. I think, you know, for the second goal in particular, we let their player run from deep. We didn't track him, and then the defence flat-footed and they got the equaliser. And I think, yeah, coming away from that, it was really an opportunity for 3 points lost and a kind of a real kick in the teeth to concede so late.
As you mentioned there, Ben, Neil Etheridge was back in goal for Cardiff. Obviously, he was injured at the beginning of the season, but he's come back in. Is it a little bit harsh on Alex Smithies, or do you have to look at it in the perspective of, you look back to last season, Neil Etheridge was fantastic in goal for Cardiff. Cardiff maybe would have got even fewer points without him. So actually, you have to take sentiment out of it. Neil Warnock has to pick his best goalkeeper, and the fact of the matter is, Etheridge is the number one.
Yeah, I think that's the way you have to look at it, really. I think, you know, most clubs have their kind of keeper hierarchy. You have your number one, you have your number two, and I think in a lot of cases now you have a third goalkeeper, and we've got, you know, Joe Day, who came in from Newport. And I think as soon as Etheridge came back, he was, you know, like you say, he's our number one. He was our best player last season, voted player of the season. I think as much as it's harsh on Smithy, it would be even harsher on Etheridge, say, to just, you know, forget that he existed almost and just leave him on the bench, especially when he is so good. And I think we did look more solid at the back on Tuesday. I think he's just got that rapport with Sean Morrison that kind of really helps things. And I think we do look a bit more kind of robust at the back with him in, and I think it's for the better, really.
One man that does seem to be in good form for Cardiff at the moment, he scored in that draw against Millwall, was Danny Ward. He scored four goals so far this season. Is he starting to become a really integral player? Obviously, there's no Kenneth Sahore at Cardiff anymore. There's no Bobby Reid, who's on loan at Fulham. So is he becoming kind of the focal point of this Cardiff side going forward?
I think it's becoming increasingly that way. I think he kind of came off the bench a couple of times. I think his first three goals came off the bench. And I think as much as Glatzel wasn't scoring, well, I mean, Glatzel got two goals, he wasn't scoring consistently. And I think it would have been unfair to drop Glatzel straight away for Ward. But I think, you know, came in on Tuesday, scored against Millwall. Like you say, it's his fourth goal. He's always kind of looked like he could be our focal point and our integral striker. But I think he's suffered with injuries over the last few years. And I think last season, for example, he came in, scored against Arsenal on his first game, and then was in and out of the side through injury. And we didn't really see him the latter half of the season because of concussion issues, I think it was. And I think if he can keep fit and keep scoring, I think this is his best kind of run of form for Cardiff, then I don't see why we shouldn't keep him in the team. Because if he's getting goals, then that's what we need from a striker, and he's doing it.
Let's look ahead then to Sunday's big, big game. It's Swansea up against Cardiff, and some really, I mean, you can always rely upon Neil Warnock for a great quote. And he has cited the sending off of the France rugby player Sebastian Vahamahina against Wales last weekend at the Rugby World Cup as to why his team must stay cool against Swansea, keeping their discipline in a hostile atmosphere. What would be your message if you were the manager of the Cardiff players? Because you all want these players to be kind of extra motivated, show passion in a game like this. But there is a very fine line between showing passion and being kind of showing downright stupidity and then getting yourself potentially sent off in a game like this.
I think Warnock's spot on, really. And I think when you look at our squad compared to Swansea's squad, I think we've got, I'm loath to say, a few more agricultural players, but that's what we've got. We've got people like Lee Peltier, Sean Morrison, Aidan Flynn, even through the midfield, Marlon Pack and Joe Ralph. They're the kind of players who can get themselves stuck in and kind of, you know, make the big challenges, show the aggression and the passion that we need without kind of overdoing it. And I think my message would be almost like twofold. For those players, play your normal game. You know, if you see a 50-50, go for it. Make sure you're aggressive in the tackle, but don't go overboard. And then for the other players, people like Josh Murphy, kind of Gavin White, Danny Ward, just play your normal game and just try and be the skillful players and be the kind of foil to the more aggressive players. And I think that's going to be our best bet, really. Leave the kind of hard tackles and aggression to the players who know that they can do it and know that they can kind of keep it within their limits, and then let the other players just play and run free. And I think that will be the kind of key to getting a good result on Sunday.
One of the interesting facts in the build-up to this game is that none of Warnock's current Cardiff squad have experienced a Welsh derby. This is the first meeting between the clubs in 5 years. In your view, Ben, does that work as an advantage? Because the kind of that youth or that innocence that you've never experienced it, so there's nothing to fear, you don't have a bad record to kind of worry about? Or does it work against Cardiff that these players don't necessarily quite grasp how important this game is to the fans?
I struggle to kind of see the benefit of kind of experience in these games, because I think one of the things about the South Wales derby that is unique is that no one's ever done the double in the derby. And I think if we had players in our squad who were kind of who'd lost the game before or had only drawn games before, then they might kind of go in with a bit more apprehension and a bit more kind of cloud hanging over them, because they know that there's a lot more riding on it. And I think in terms of that kind of big game experience, I think the game against Swansea isn't much different to kind of some of the bigger games we've played over the last few years, whether that's kind of games to try and keep up in the Premier League last year or the promotion run we had a couple seasons before. I think at this early stage in the season, it's all about bragging rights at the moment. And I think as long as we've got players with a big game temperament, and we have in terms of people like Aidan Flynn, Etheridge, Peltier, Joe Riles, they've kind of all stepped up when we needed them to, then I think that it's just the same as really as knowing how these games are played out previously. And I think it's going to be a hostile atmosphere, and we've got players who are used to playing in a hostile atmosphere. And I think as long as you know how to keep your head in, you know, when everyone else is losing theirs around you, then I think we'll be okay.
And I can't let you leave us this afternoon, Ben, without a prediction. Swansea beat Cardiff at the Liberty Stadium. How's it going to pan out?
See, I think it's going to be a draw. I think 1-1, 2-2, I think it's going to be a really tetchy affair. I don't think either team is going to have the kind of clear kind of upper hand on the other team. And I think it will just, there might be a sending off, but I think it's going to be a draw. 1-1 or 2-2, I'm going for.
Thank you very much for joining us this afternoon, Ben.
Thank you.
Enjoy the game on Sunday. That was Ben James, a writer and founder of View from the Ninian, looking ahead to Swansea's game against Cardiff on Sunday afternoon. Should be a pretty good game. As I mentioned, none of Cardiff's team have ever played in a Welsh derby. And that's going to be interesting to see whether that experience or lack of it is a benefit or a problem for these players. But it's a pretty massive game, and there should be a great hostile atmosphere at the Liberty Stadium on Sunday. Any Cardiff or Swansea fans out there, get in contact with us. Call us on 0208 7020 558 or WhatsApp us on that very same number. Share your views on that Welsh derby or one of a number of derbies this weekend. One of the other ones is tomorrow afternoon. It will be at Hillsborough Sheffield Wednesday host Leeds. Gary Monk has started life pretty well as the manager of Sheffield Wednesday, so we'll be getting the Wednesday perspective next.
Love Sport.
This is the Championship Fan Show with me, Kieran Critchard, up until 3 o'clock on this Friday afternoon. Remember, if you want to get in contact with us this afternoon, call us on 0208 7020 558. We're on Twitter, Facebook and Instagram at Love Sport Radio, and we are also on WhatsApp, so make sure you share your views. A number of derbies coming up, rivalries. It's dubbed the Rivalry Weekend in the Championship. You can look through Huddersfield versus Barnsley. We talked about Swansea Cardiff just a few moments ago. QPR take on Brentford on Monday night. Also at Hillsborough tomorrow, 12:30 kickoff at Hillsborough. Sheffield Wednesday take on Leeds. It is third versus second. Both sides have made a pretty good start to the season, in particular for Sheffield Wednesday. A bit more of a shock. Gary Monk doing a pretty good job at Sheffield Wednesday there. And I'm delighted to say, to talk all things Sheffield Wednesday from their perspective ahead of this big game, we can talk to James Marriott, Sheffield Wednesday podcaster. Thank you very much for your time this afternoon, James. Before we look ahead to that big game tomorrow, another win in midweek. It was 1-0 at home against Stoke on Tuesday night. It just continues this good run that Wednesday are on.
It was a good win on Tuesday, because it certainly wasn't a classic performance. It wasn't a brilliant game of football. I'd been up since 3 o'clock in the morning working, and there were a couple of times where I found myself just ever so slightly drifting off during the latter part of the first half of that game on Tuesday. But yeah, it was a win, and it's such an old saying in football, isn't it? But a win is a win, and you take them. So I think all things considered, yeah, not a bad week actually. You know, 4 points from Cardiff away, Stoke at home. Most Wednesday fans, I think, would have taken that before last Friday. So, yeah, good week.
It was interesting to read Gary Monk's comments after the game. He said that there were lots of similarities between the Cardiff game and the Stoke game. Very good in the first half, but making it difficult for ourselves in the second. In both second halves, we could have done better. What was it about those second halves that Gary Monk wasn't particularly happy with? And I suppose going forward, what do Sheffield Wednesday need to do in those second halves to make sure that this perhaps doesn't continue to happen? Because it's not like every game you're going to get away with only playing one good half, and you're not going to win games all the time playing just good 45 minutes and the second 45 minutes just turning off.
It's actually pretty straightforward, and it's just finishing off games. So, you know, we in both games we created enough chances to be out of sight way before the kind of the closing third of the game, and obviously we paid the price against Cardiff. We had enough chances to have won probably two football matches altogether in that game, and we were wasteful, and we've got to finish off games. We can't afford to miss as many chances as we are at the moment. We've got to be more clinical, and I think that ultimately is the problem, that in the second half we seem to have just taken our foot off the gas a little bit, which is quite natural for a football team to do, but it means that, you know, when we are still creating chances, but we've got to take them. And that there are teams, and there's no disrespect to Stoke, but there are teams that would have punished us probably on Tuesday night, because again we were a bit wasteful. You know, we've got a hard few games coming up. I know we're going to talk about tomorrow's game in a minute, but there's no way in the world that if we invite what we did against Stoke to Leeds tomorrow, that we can afford to do the same thing, because they will punish us.
So it's been an impressive start to life as the Sheffield Wednesday manager for Gary Monk. Wednesday up to third in the table on 23 points, just 3 points off the top of the table. Are you surprised by how quickly Gary Monk has got his feet under the table and is doing so well? Or were there very early signs? Did you think beforehand that actually, with the experience that this manager has at this level, that actually he can hit the ground running?
It kind of felt like in the early parts of the season that if you watched a Wednesday game, you could kind of see the things that weren't quite working. And therefore you thought, well, actually, if a manager comes in who kind of knows what to do to solve these problems, then they probably can get things working pretty quickly. And Gary Monk seems to have done that. You know, that said, it is a bit of a strange squad. Some of the players have been here for a long time, and I think there's an issue there with a bit of complacency that sets in with some players, and that's a more difficult thing to resolve. Ultimately, yeah, I kind of am surprised that Gary Monk's done as well as he did do, because I think I thought that the problems probably went a little bit deeper than just a bit of what's happening on the pitch. There were a lot of behind the scenes stuff in terms of who we got kind of doing things on the coaching pitch and things like that, and I thought it's going to take him a while to get this turned around and sorted. But you know, at the moment we're winning games. I would add that I'm not going to say that necessarily I think that this Wednesday team has kind of turned a corner. I think, you know, there may still be some difficult times ahead this season, but at the moment we're getting results, and long may that continue.
So looking ahead to the big game tomorrow afternoon, it's a 12:30 kickoff at Hillsborough. Sheffield Wednesday are up against Leeds. How important is this fixture to the Wednesday fans, especially as it's on home soil?
Yeah, I mean, we all hate Leeds, so it's a huge game. You know, we've got no Steel City derby this season, and the less said about that, the better. But that kind of means that, you know, the Leeds game sort of takes over as being, you know, the most fiery game of the season for us. It was a Friday night game last season, and you know, it really was a fiery evening. Bit different this time. It's a Saturday lunchtime kickoff, and I think I speak for both Wednesday and Leeds fans when I say we're delighted that it's a Saturday lunchtime kickoff, because everyone loves Saturday lunchtime football. But it's a big game, and it's actually a really interesting time for us to be playing it, because both Wednesday and Leeds have had pretty decent starts to the season. It could be a really good season for one or even both of the teams. So it's Wednesday's biggest test of the season. It'll not, certainly not be an easy game for Leeds, and you know, they'll know that they come here. Gary Monk will be really fired up with his kind of previous with Leeds. Hopefully it should be, you know, a proper game of football.
Looking then at this game in particular, obviously it is third up against second Leeds, just 1 point above Sheffield Wednesday. Is this the type of game that we're going to learn a huge amount about, I suppose, Wednesday and Leeds? And if Wednesday can come out of this game potentially with a win, then that will kind of send a big statement out that not only are Wednesday beating sides that they should be beating, but actually they can beat some of the top sides in this division.
Yeah, there's a significant point in there, because I think someone was telling me the other day that as it stands, Wednesday haven't beaten anyone above something like 17th or 16th in the table or something like that. So the teams that we've beaten so far have been the teams that, you know, you would, with all due respect to them, you'd expect to be beating. You know, this is a real test in terms of coming up against a team who are expected to be up there or thereabouts. I know it's such a cliche, but people talk about, you know, games like this, the form book and stuff like that goes out of the window. And I think there's an element of truth in that for this one, because it's likely to be a game that from the first minute is played at 200 miles an hour. And it doesn't really matter who's second, who's third, or where the teams are when Wednesday play Leeds. It's a feisty affair. It'll be a scrappy game. It's done nothing but rain all day so far in South Yorkshire today, and it's not really forecast to stop. So it will be interesting conditions. What that means, I don't know, because it's quite a physical game anyway, and I think that just adds a little bit more unpredictability to it in terms of the actual conditions for the game. So I think whoever it is that comes out of the game with 3 points will probably see it as being, right, this could be the, you know, the real sort of turning point for our season, where there's a chance to just start edging ahead in terms of the league table. I'm not sure the league table really means anything until we get kind of past Christmas anyway, but you know, psychologically it would be really big for Wednesday if we can win this game, in terms of clocking up that first win against a team that's going to be up there or thereabouts, but also just in terms of the fact that it's, you know, it's 3 points against Leeds.
And just finally then, James, in terms of how this game's going to pan out, a really interesting statistic is that Gary Monk was the only manager to beat Marcelo Bielsa twice last year. Do you see that as a good omen for Sheffield Wednesday tomorrow, or will that perhaps be broken tomorrow?
We'll have to see. I mean, he'll you know, psychologically he'll play on that a little bit. The other stat that's quite interesting is that so far this season, Wednesday have already played one of Gary Monk's former teams in Middlesbrough, and we won that game 4-1. So we'll take a repeat of that. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much for your time this afternoon, James. That was James Marriott, a Sheffield Wednesday podcaster, hoping that Wednesday will be able to replicate a result that they had against one of Gary Monk's former clubs. It's kind of interesting when you get these managers that have managed a number of championship clubs, a bit like Gary Rowett, for example. His first game fully in charge of Millwall is against one of his former sides in Stoke. So you end up getting, with some of these managers, they might end up managing about 8 or 9 championship clubs. So pretty much every other week, it's like the Gary Rowett derby or the Gary Monk derby. But should be a terrific game at Hillsborough tomorrow. It's the early kickoff, 12:30, third place Sheffield Wednesday on 23 points, up against second place Leeds under Marcelo Bielsa on 24 points. As I said, that statistic, Gary Monk was the only manager last season to beat Marcelo Bielsa twice. So that must be a pretty good omen for Sheffield Wednesday. And as, well, James didn't want to point out, the fact that Sheffield United are now in the Premier League means there's no Sheffield derby anymore, and that therefore increases the importance of this game against Leeds, one of the standout fixtures and one of the real derby rivalry weekend games this weekend. If you want to share your views on your Championship club's fixtures coming up this weekend, call us on 0208 70 20 558. We're on Twitter, Facebook and Instagram at Loughborough Radio. We are also on WhatsApp, so we want to hear from you this afternoon. We're going to continue looking ahead to the weekend's action. And Blackburn, they make the trip to Deepdale. Not a long trip for them, but they are away at Preston. Looking like a tough old game. Bouncing back, they'll be hoping from a 1-0 loss away at Birmingham in midweek. So we'll be getting the Blackburn perspective next.
This is Love Sport.
This is the Championship Fan Show with me, Kieran Critchard, up until 2 o'clock this afternoon. Remember, if you want to share your views on your Championship club, get in contact with us. Call us on 0208 7020558 or WhatsApp us. That number again, 0208 7020558. A rundown of all of the Championship fixtures this weekend. It starts with that game that we were just talking about a few moments ago, Sheffield Wednesday against Leeds at Hillsborough at 12:30. Then 3 o'clock, we have Birmingham at home against Luton. Huddersfield host Barnsley. Hull take on Derby. Middlesbrough against Fulham. Millwall up against Stoke and Gary Rowett's first game in charge or at the Den. Nottingham Forest up against Reading. Preston are against Blackburn. West Brom take on Charlton. Then on to Sunday, Swansea are up against Cardiff in the Welsh Derby. And Bristol City are against Wigan. And then the Monday night football is QPR against Brentford, another of the rivalry games this weekend. So we're going to look ahead to one of the 3 o'clock kickoffs on Saturday. Preston take on Blackburn. And to give us the away perspective at Deepdale, I'm delighted to say we're joined by Matt Holden, host of the 1875 podcast and also a Blackburn fan. Thank you very much for joining us this afternoon, Matt. Before we look ahead to that game, looking back at midweek, 1-0 loss away at Birmingham. Tony Mowbray was very critical of the first half performance. I think he said it was arguably the worst half performance he's ever seen during his time as the Blackburn manager. Is that a fair assessment of that first half against Birmingham?
Very, very much so, Kieran. Yeah, thanks for having me on the show again. Yeah, very, very accurate description and very flat performance and it was tough to take, really, because I thought as soon as we made a couple of changes, you saw kind of a bit of spark come on. I think we sent on Danny Graham and Joe Rothwell on, and we created a half chance, I think. But other than that, it was pretty much kind of a very dire result as far as a Blackburn perspective goes, really.
Looking at that game, one man that didn't play in that game was Lewis Holtby, who's set to be ruled out again tomorrow. I've spoken to a few Blackburn fans who said he's made quite a big impact on and off the field since he joined on a free transfer. How big a miss was he in midweek, and how big a loss would he be if he doesn't play tomorrow?
It's going to be a big loss, really, Kieran. He's come in on a free transfer after being out of contract after leaving Hamburg. He's impressed. He's got that kind of extra creative spark which we need in the middle of a park, even though we're kind of somewhat overstacked in the middle of the park at the moment. So he was a big miss on Tuesday against Birmingham, and he's going to be a bigger miss tomorrow, I think, because Preston do have, they're very much stacked in the middle of the park there as well. So he's going to be a huge miss for us.
One of the big problems so far for Blackburn this season has been defensively. That's not been aided by the fact that they've picked up a couple of injuries. How did you see kind of the defensive adjustment in midweek against Birmingham and going into this game? How do you think that Tony Mowbray might be looking at changing the formation? How is he adjusting to the injuries that Blackburn have at the back?
It is tough. I mean, we just go back one game further against Huddersfield, and it was we were playing Elliot Bennett, who's been predominantly used as a right back. He was playing at left back and got caught out for the first goal. For the penalty that really wasn't, but that's another story. But against Huddersfield, so he's had to twist a few, and obviously with Cunningham and Lenihan out for a few months, he's going to have to continue doing that unless one of them makes a miraculous recovery like Lenihan. He's ahead of his injury. I don't think he is, actually, but if he was, it'd be great for him to kind of like come back in and and then we could kind of like get another readjustment there. But Tosin Adebayo's come in. He's looked okay. And we've had Ryan Nyambe at his kind of like favoured right back position there as well. So it has been a bit of a juggling act, really. I think if we were to get another injury in that defensive stack, it would really, you know, really set us back, and you know we'd have to perhaps look at trying bringing someone in short term, you know, before January.
One man that certainly isn't struggling for form is Bradley Dack. He scored 6 goals and got 3 assists so far this season. When we talk about Hull City, we talk about Jared Bowen, that even when Hull are going through bad form, Bowen continues to play in good form. Similarities with Dack as well at Blackburn. I'm going to ask the same question of you, Matt, that we've asked some of the Hull guests that we've had about Bowen. Is there too much of an onus, too much pressure on Bradley Dack? And is there that feeling that if Bradley Dack doesn't turn up, then Blackburn struggle to create anything going forward?
Yeah, I'd have to agree, really, and I can see where, you know, the whole City fans are coming from with Bowen. He's certainly kind of like their anchor man, their kind of their quarterback, so to speak, and able to kind of create something. I do find sometimes that, you know, if the opposition do kind of crowd out Bradley Dack, which, you know, a lot of teams, I think Birmingham did it well on Tuesday. Huddersfield, they tried to do it on the Saturday beforehand. You know, if they do kind of like crowd him out, you know, double up on him, he has got enough in his locker to kind of try and get around it. And I think if you saw the goal that he did score against Huddersfield, you know, it's kind of like a very much kind of like flash in the pan incident, and you know, he managed to kind of get free away from his markers and put us 2-1 up. But yeah, definitely, he's definitely the go-to guy at the moment. It's just a shame that really that there's no one able to kind of feed off his service. You know, we've had that kind of deadly duo in attack of Danny Graham and Bradley Dack for a couple of years now, and Dack has always kind of been like the creation, and Graham has sort of like been there to kind of hold it up and allow Dack to go a bit further up the pitch and advance and get into goal scoring and certainly provide assists for the players. So certainly, just going back to the original point, if Bradley Dack doesn't turn up, which, to be honest, he has actually, he was one couple of players to come out of Tuesday with his head held high. He did, you know, he did put a shift in, and it's just a shame that perhaps another number of his teammates didn't quite kind of like match up. You know, I felt he was the only one that really kind of wanted to do anything. He was dropping deep and things like that, but he was finding himself kind of like crowded out, and he certainly is the main man as far as Blackburn are concerned at the moment.
I wanted to get your views on one of the more interesting stories of the day. It's the news that Jack Rodwell is expected to sign for Roma. Now, he obviously left Blackburn Rovers in the summer. How surprised were you, as shocked as we are here, to hear that news today that Jack Rodwell could be joining a side that's in the Europa League?
I want his agent. I really do. I want his agent because he just seems to land on his feet wherever he goes. I think the latest news is he's been told to wait by Roma because of his medical or something. He had a medical either last night or this morning. I think he's been told to wait. I think they're still looking into that. But yeah, I would have liked to see Jack Rodwell stay. I think we did make him a contract offer. Either we got a no or a no response from him, and he went off on holiday. We've not, you know, heard or seen anything from him since. You know, we kept his locker open, we kept his posts open, and everything like that at the training ground. So it's like I said, I was surprised as you were, really, that he's kind of somehow kind of landing on his feet. We'll wait to obviously see if that deal goes through, but you know he'll have company in there with Chris Smalling over in Roma, who probably help him settle in. But it is, as you said, a big surprise, considering, you know, he was playing Championship football last season, did quite well. As I said there before, I would have liked to have seen him stay. I don't know whether it was kind of based around money or appearances or whatnot. So it is a huge kind of surprise that he's looking at going over to Italy.
Looking ahead then to tomorrow's game, it's away at Preston, not a big trip or a long trip for away fans, but Preston have won four of the last five league matches against Blackburn, winning four and drawing one, winning both the games last season. How tough a game is this going to be against a side that currently sits sixth?
Yeah, they've impressed. I have to say, even though I'm like a rival fan, they have impressed me, Preston. You know, they've picked up some good results. They've started strong, and I think gradually they've built up over the last couple of seasons to become kind of a top eight championship side. And you know, they're on the cusp of the playoffs at the moment. I think they'll go close this year, and obviously we want to be up there. Challenging them really, if we can. Our current form doesn't suggest that we will do that. But they certainly have been kind of very impressive in their start to the season. Whether that can continue is another point. But they have started strong. And if you were to ask me what I'd take now, like today, I would definitely take a point. But we know it's going to be tough. As you said, they've won both games, both at Deepdale and at Ewood last year. The Ewood game was a lot closer than the Deepdale one. It was 4-1 at Deepdale, wasn't it? And 1-0 at Ewood. So it was a lot kind of like a tough affair. But if I remember rightly, we didn't really threaten Preston that much in the game at Ewood. So we've got to be doing that, and we've got to hope that our defensive frailties are not overexposed by our local rivals.
Thank you very much for joining us this afternoon, Matt. That was Matt Holden, host of the 1875 podcast, looking ahead to Blackburn's game. Not a long trip for the away fans, but looks like a tough trip to Deepdale tomorrow afternoon. It's a 3 o'clock kickoff. Preston, who are in sixth, take on Blackburn Rovers, who are in 16th. They're going to be without Lewis Holtby tomorrow. Interesting to get Matt's views on Jack Rodwell, who is about to sign, or could be signing, for Roma, playing in the Europa League, who only left Blackburn in the summer. And Matt was saying he would have actually liked to have seen Rodwell stay at Blackburn, and felt like he did play reasonably well. If you want to get in touch with us this afternoon, call us on 0208 7020 558. We're on Twitter, Facebook and Instagram at Love Sport Radio. We are also on WhatsApp. Love Sport.